the air someday.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM. Arsenio Hall is sitting in with us every Wednesday.
Wow. Whenever I say something that's horribly incriminating about my character, we come back
that
from commercial.
That microphone comes on.
Yeah. We come right back from a commercial, and I'm like, and but in prison, it don't count.
Yeah.
Oh, we're back on. We're back on.
All right, we got to thank Pomodoro. They were awfully nice to come in and give us some of the greatest food that you'll ever eat in Los Angeles. So get out to Pomodoro and buy yourself a meal. Enjoy your pasta, man.
Do they have chicken and waffles?
I don't believe they do. No.
Okay. Right.
They have chicken.
And I probably have to go get a waffle.
You have
at
to
IHOP.
Get a waffle and bring it in.
That's your homework.
They have a waffling fee, though. All right.
Hey, that's fun, like a corking fee.
Yes.
Just for the listeners
more
who
Leno,
are.
More Leno material.
If you're paying attention to your driving, stop it, because Tim's really firing up in here.
I told Sam Phillips last night that Leno joke. And the girl born in India with three eyes.
Uh-huh.
And lens crafters promised to make her a set of glasses in an hour and a half. And she's like, why is that funny? Like, oh, never mind.
That's my girl. That's my girl.
I want to take her to a comedy club.
And have her go up?
No, and just have her keep yelling to the comics.
Where's the joke? Why is that funny?
As a matter of fact, let's take her to the next Michael Richards concert.
Oh, you know what we should do? Hey, Jerry and Gina and Randy. Let's do this next. We used to do this for Malibu Dan. We used to take, whose was it? There was some act. Oh, I think it was, who's the guy that that did Monday Night Football, and he was like too smart for the room?
Dennis Miller.
Oh my god!
But we used to take Dennis Miller's act and play it for Malibu Dan and have him explain the jokes.
Right? Oh, that's funny.
But let's do that with Sam Phillips next time. That's actually a good idea, and just explain the jokes. You know?
I can't believe you.
First
don't...
of all, I identify him and then explain why they're funny.
This is after her IQ test, right?
I love that Sam Phillips. She has an IQ of 171.
Really?
Yeah, it's true.
Wow.
It's true. All right, Gina Grant, anything in the news today?
Sure.
Let's go.
Now, from the 97.1 newsroom.
This news brought to you by...
Gina, get the goddamn fork out of your mouth!
Here's Gina Grant with the news.
Sorry.
Gina really loves that pomodoro. How many helpings did you have?
I can't stop eating.
Seriously, wow. How many helpings of that did you have?
A pomodoro?
Yeah.
After the foot-long subway?
Yeah.
Like three.
Wow.
So you arrived here and you were like, oh, I'm so full. And then they put food out and you said,
I'm in.
I was.
It literally was like me bitching to Randy and John going, oh my God, I'm so sick, I'm going to throw up. Oh, pomodoro. And then it started all over again.
What are you eating through? I mean, was there something going on in your life?
I don't think so. I've been a little stressed out.
Yeah.
Oh, no, don't laugh. Let's talk about it. Is it love?
No.
Is it hate?
I'm a kitty foster mom, and I've been a lot on my plate.
Yo, man, see, that's why I don't leave bad relationships, because I swear you meet somebody fine who has a lot of cats.
That's her.
You know?
How many do you have?
Well, I have none now. I had to give them all homes today. It was
pretty
hard.
Sad, huh?
Yeah.
Did you name them before you got rid of them?
No, I promised myself I wouldn't name them.
All right, what's happening in the news, Gina Grant?
Let's move on. Well, first, Kobe Bryant has finally received an MVP award for his accomplishments in professional basketball.
It's about time.
Yes. Regarded as the NBA's best player for several years, but never its most valuable, Bryant earned the honor at last Tuesday's affair after leading the Lakers to the best record in the Western Conference. He called the award a blessing and an honor and emphasized that he wants another trophy this year. Ooh. And we have some audio of the rest of the speech.
All right, here's Kobe Bryant. Thank God. Finally, a black guy won the MVP.
Whew, at last.
Wasn't it the last couple have been white dudes?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Boy.
You know, we... I don't know.
How'd that happen?
We were slipping, and you
You're
punished
back.
Us, you know?
Okay. All right, here's Kobe Bryant winning the MVP.
This is a beautiful day. It's a very special day for me, and, you know, I'm just deeply, deeply honored to be here. And I couldn't have won this award without the play of my teammates. You know, this is a team award. This isn't an individual award. This is an award that... And I couldn't have won them all. If that was the case, I would have won it when I was averaging 40. this gets done because we all do it as a unit. And so I can't thank these guys enough. You know, these are my guys. These are my brothers. And we have won MVP. So.
Kobe, would you like to be a Laker for the rest of your career? Can you say that now?
I would like to, absolutely.
Look at that. Wow. I'd like to be a Laker the rest of my career.
What a difference a day makes. I mean, this is a guy saw do a similar press conference about rape and accusations in Colorado sitting next to his wife, and now he's accepting this. I guess it says something about perseverance.
Yeah, although, you know, at the beginning of this conference, it sounded like he was addressing the rape charges again.
It did sound like a similar press conference.
It's a very special day for me. And
it's that ambiance and that deep voice.
It's a beautiful day.
Yeah.
Very special day.
This is a beautiful day. It's a very special day for me. And
there he goes. All right, congratulations to Kobe Bryant. How old is he now? 21? 22?
24.
Is he 24?
No. He's what, like 28?
Yeah, he's up there. He's almost 30.
Jesus Christ.
He's getting old.
Wow. Long in the tooth, though.
He'll be laying the ball up and no more dunking really soon. really soon.
I'll be buying himself a couple of TGIs and some Starbucks.
There you go.
All right. Anything else in the news there, Gina Grass?
Yes. Well, the primary results are in, and it seems that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama divided and conquered the votes in Indiana and North Carolina this week. Mm. Our first bit of audio is from Senator Clinton's victory speech in Indiana, where she gives off an extremely confident air about taking over the presidency.
All right. Here we go. The only woman left in the universe who thinks she's got a shot.
Not too long ago, my opponent made a prediction. He said I would probably win Pennsylvania, he would win North Carolina, and Indiana would be the tiebreaker. Well, tonight, we've come from behind, we've broken the tie, and thanks to you, it's full speed on to the White House.
Just a moment, sweetheart. Just a minute, baby.
She sounds insane.
She sounds like she is addressing the last 75 people who think she has a shot.
Yeah.
Nobody thinks she has a shot. Nobody. Wow. Bill doesn't think she has a shot.
Hey, when McGovern came out today,
yeah, everybody's coming out.
Away. And Feinstein, if I remember correctly, was on her jock like 2 months ago. If I can say that, that's a political term, right? Feinstein was on a jocking her real hard. And today, Feinstein said, "Baby, can we talk? Can we get some lunch? Because hey, you're messing it up."
Yeah, this is not going to happen. I think it's about another week before she gives that tearful speech.
It's so bizarre. I mean, she's a fighter, you know. The 3 a.m. call was real cool. She was whipping his ass for a minute, wasn't she?
Well, I don't think she ever, I mean, after the big Super Tuesday, I don't think she was ever coming back from that because she just sort of squeaked by in that thing. But, you know, this is a woman who had her eyes on being president probably for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
And she was going to do it the old-fashioned way.
Otherwise, she would have left Bill, probably.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if she didn't want to be president. And that might happen, too. I mean, if this goes south for her, which it looks like it might, they might also split up. But they really wanted to be president. Bill wanted to be president again, and it's not going to work out. And I don't think that's going to be a ticket. I don't think Obama-Clinton is going to be the ticket either. Because I don't think that Obama can stand Bill Clinton.
Nah.
I think he hates that guy.
You know, he needs the general. He needs Wesley Clark, or he needs who's the politician in New York that's very rich? Is it Gold?
Oh, Bloomberg.
Bloomberg.
Yeah.
Bloomberg or Wesley Clark.
Yeah, it's one of those dudes, but not her.
Gary Coleman.
What you be talking about, Obama? All right, but this is amazing though. The Clinton political machine is the strongest, or was the strongest, in the United States for a long time.
Yeah,
and this guy came out of Illinois, who had no experience running for president, none, and beats her. That is unbelievable.
It's an amazing time in American history. And politics.
Yeah.
Who's going to answer that phone at 3 a.m., Tim?
You know what? You got to listen to this carefully again, because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there are male voices in this audience. Listen to this.
Oh.
Not too long ago, my opponent made a prediction. He said I would probably win Pennsylvania. He would win North Carolina. And Indiana would be the tiebreaker. Well, tonight, we've come from behind. We've broken the tie.
There it is. That's clearly a male voice in the audience. What
but if you listen real carefully, it's that comedian Ant from VH1.
Broken the tie and banging the tie and the tie and the tie.
Yeah. There's a guy in that audience who, the Christ, is in that audience yelling out Hillary's name, if you have nuts.
Yeah, exactly.
What guy is walking around with a Hillary 08 sticker on his car?
I got a feeling if you reach in his car, though, and take that CD stack unit out, there'll be some Judy Garland. You know?
Yeah, it is.
Clang, clang, clang with the trolley.
It is over, man. She's the only one in the world that doesn't know it's over. All right, anything else in the news there, Gina Graham?
Yes, well, we have one more bit of audio from this. We have presidential hopeful Barack Obama, who spoke to his audience in North Carolina after his tremendous victory there.
All right, here we go. Barack Obama, everybody.
You know, there are those who were saying that North Carolina would be a game changer in this election. But today, what North Carolina decided is that the only game that needs changing is the one in Washington, D.C. I want to start by congratulating Senator Clinton on what appears to be her victory in the great state of Indiana.
All right, they always have to do that, huh?
Oh, yeah. But you know what? Taking that high road and congratulating her is part of his new persona. He's going to be a lot more likable when he handles it that way.
Yeah.
Because he knows he kicked her ass. He's like, you know, all them white people, you only beat me by 2%. And if she can't beat a brother named Barack, she don't need to be in politics. Barack, if his name was Chauncey or Phil,
right,
white people I could see going for it. But white people are actually voting for a man named Barack.
Yeah. Barack Hussein.
Yes! She can't beat a brother named Barack Hussein!
Yeah.
You can't beat Bobby Brown if you can't beat Barack Hussein.
Yeah, she's losing. The Clinton political machine is losing to a guy with the middle name of Hussein.
Wow.
After 9/11.
But, I mean,
there are a lot of people who do not like this woman.
She will run again in 4 years and lose to a guy named Adolph Johnson.
if he slides in there, which is probable right now, then she's got to wait 8 more years to run.
You're right.
Because
he'll probably hang on.
Yeah. In 8 years, God only knows what can happen.
And even if McCain wins, Barack will run next time and win.
Yeah, he'll
kick
Hillary
ass will
next
still
time.
Be answering the phone at 3 a.m. Bill, who is it? Who is it, Bill? Call me back on my cell phone in the office in 5 minutes.
She's got to be so pissed. All right, anything else in the news, Gina Graham?
Yes, well, meanwhile, in local news, an article that appeared in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend angered 97.1 talk show host Danny Bonaducci to the point of challenging another CBS employee to a duel.
A duel?
A duel.
Like a fight?
A duel.
A duel? Like with what, guns?
Oh, we'll get there.
Oh, boy.
It's a duel. It's on. The article implied that Bonaducci was asked to leave the morning show because of his, quote, frenetic interruptions, his over-the-top anecdotes, and his suggestions, which included climbing into a tub of live snakes.
Hmm.
The story went on to say that if Mr. Bonaducci didn't go, Mr. Carolla would. And upon hearing this, an aggravated Bonaducci challenged Adam Carolla to a very strange competition, and we have audio of this.
All right, Danny Bonaducci challenging Carolla.
There was an article came out in some newspaper where I personally felt that Adam Carolla said less than flattering things about me. Well, I've just decided what I'm going to do about it. I am going to prove my point. Mr. Carolla, sir, if you are listening, I challenge you to a duel. Actually, what are they when you use lances on horseback? Is that still a joust? I challenge you to a joust.
Mm.
I happen to know that you ride unicycles. I ride unicycles. Here's my proposed joust, sir. We get our unicycles. We get 7-foot bamboo poles, put oversized boxing gloves on the end of them, and we ride up and down Wilshire Boulevard till one of us knocks the other one off their unicycle.
Mm.
That's a modern-day one-wheeled joust, sir. The gauntlet has been tossed, Mr. Carolla.
Oh, boy. Adam's probably going, really see what I was saying?
You know, I mean, you're on the inside of this. You're family here. How real is this? How much of it is marketing?
Danny Bonaducci was on a week ago Friday with us here. And awfully nice to come in on his off time. And he said there's an article coming out in the Wall Street Journal. And Adam Carolla said a bunch of things about me in the article that I never knew were true. And I said, I didn't read the article. And I think a lot of the things that were in the article did bother Bonaducci. Because I don't think he knew a lot of what was happening behind the scenes and why he left that morning show.
You know, one time...
But then again, I asked Bonaducci, I said, hey, if you and Eric Carolla ever got in a boxing match, who would win? And even Bonaducci said, oh, he would destroy me.
So that's why he wants to joust.
I think so.
Yeah. Because he know he get his ass whipped.
I think Bonaducci's smart enough to know that Carolla's bigger than him. He's got a longer reach and may have more experience in boxing. I don't know.
And you know, Carolla is a sports legend in the Valley.
But wouldn't you go to see a fight between those two?
Oh,
a boxing match?
Absolutely.
You could sell out the Staples Center.
Oh, gosh. I would scalp tickets to that. I didn't go see the Screech fight, but I'd go see this one.
Yeah. I would seriously, and I do enjoy watching Lakers on TV. I'd rather go see Carolla fight Bonaducci than a playoff game, than a Lakers playoff
absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely. And it'd be less crowded, too. You know? The Laker game is a living hell.
Yeah. There are a lot of folks down there. All right. Anything else in the news, Gina Greb?
Yes. Well, finally, the Times reported this week that the Los Angeles Police Department closed 320 racial profiling investigations in 2007 without finding merit in a single complaint.
I told the brothers that.
In 2007, the LAPD's Internal Affairs Group closed 320 investigations into allegations that officers confronted someone solely because of the person's race. Nearly 80% of the time, the claims were dismissed outright as unfounded.
Wow.
In the remaining cases, there was either insufficient evidence to reach a conclusion or no misconduct was uncovered. Allegations of racial profiling are said to have hinged on what the officer was thinking at the moment and so are nearly impossible to prove without a confession.
Oh, ba-boom. All right, racial profiling. Is it still happening? Of course it is. Where is it going on? Here are the phone numbers. If you've been racially profiled, where is that still happening? 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. I heard Pasadena was tough. I don't know if Arsenio, if you have that experience, but Pasadena, I heard it was exceptionally tough for your brothers. Is that true? You heard that?
It's hard for me to judge, Tim. I've been to a Rose Bowl or two, and they've always been pretty nice people out there.
Glendale tough?
Glendale is hell, man.
Is that right?
No, you know,
where do you think it were? I mean, you probably hear, you know, that it goes. I know that it still goes on because it's happened to people at the station here.
Can I tell you a secret, Tim? I'm the wrong brother to ask about racial profiling because I'm a racial profiler. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've been at the airport and I'm like, is that a light-skinned brother or is he Arab? You know, it's like, you know, during the 911 thing, I was freaking out. I was like, is he a doctor or is that...
Here we go.
All right. Don't you racial profile?
Yeah, but everybody does. I mean, like, if, for instance, if I'm going to an ATM and there's two guys standing next to the ATM look like gang members, I'm not going to that ATM. And that's profiling.
Right. And by the way, if there's somebody driving in my neighborhood and they don't look like they belong in my neighborhood, stop him. I'm fine. Stop him. You know? Pull him over. Talk to him. Hey, why is the 18-year-old in the Bentley? Talk to him. Step to him quickly.
Okay. All right. Racial profiling. Where is it still going on? 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Anything else in the news? Gina Grab.
That's what's happening.
The news with Gina, everybody.
The news with Gina Grab.
Jerry, don't touch my food!
Give us 8.5 minutes, and we'll fill it with words.
All righty. All right, we'll take some of your phone calls when we come back. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Arsenio Hall is with us, and we're live on 97.1 Free FM.
The Tim Conway Jr. Show, starring Tim Conway Jr.
Look at you.
On 97.1 SoCal's FM talk station.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show, live on 97.1 Free FM. Arsenio Hall is with us.
Why is your microphone limp like that? It looks like a Hustler movie rating.
It's moving.
Oh, is it moving? Okay. Okay.
But it's like a new mic stand in here or something. I don't
know. It's
man.
Pointing down. Remember when Hustler
used
to rate
films?
I'm not
as wealthy as you are, but you, I what? Mean, Mike, Arsenio, you can't see this on the air, but Arsenio actually pays this guy Eddie to hold his microphone for him. Look at that.
That's my buddy EL.
Yeah. All right, racial profiling. Listen to this. Los Angeles Police Department, closed 320 racial profiling investigations in 2007 without finding merit in a single complaint.
Wow.
I guess no racial profiling going on.
I'm also thinking the government didn't give syphilis to our soldiers either. I guess all that's rumor. It's all rumor.
All right. Where is racial profiling going on? If it's happened to you, here's your outlet to call up and blast away, as opposed to yelling at the cops and getting thrown in jail.
Right.
520-9710 and 888-520-9710.
Hey, it's not just a racial thing. People like Macadocious, your little friend.
Right.
People like that get pulled over. They get racially profiled.
Yeah, I think people also with expensive cars get racially profiled.
Yeah.
Is that financially profiled?
Yeah. And if you look like you don't fit in the situation that you're currently rolling in, you know?
Right.
I mean, Macadocious got pulled over because he had the Lycus van. Come on. You got to pull him over.
Yeah, and there was also, it was billowing pot smoke out of the back, too. So, another reason.
Yeah, cigarette with no name in his hand.
Yes. All right, let's talk to Mark in Ontario. You're on 97.1 Free FM. How are you, dude?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I haven't been racially profiled, but I was just saying, I saw in the paper today, they were talking about how Latinos were upset because they got pulled over for Cinco de Mayo. They had a checkpoint set up for drunk drivers. Now, if you do the same thing to Irish people on St. Patrick's Day, is that racial profiling? Or?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I never thought about that.
I was just curious. I mean, I was just saying, this is against, drunk people, but they were saying Gestapo's out here, get to get us and all this,
Yeah,
so
I
was just wondering what your viewpoint was.
Yeah, I think that there is a little of that still going on, but I don't know how you profile an Irish guy. I mean, Irish are, it's tough to spot an Irish guy driving from, 40 yards from you. Not so tough to spot a guy who's either white, black, or Hispanic, or Asian. But then to look at him and go, oh, I know, is he Irish or not? I don't know how you spot an Irish dude.
Yeah, I got a friend who's a cop, and she pulled over a guy with a green plastic derby on. And he was coming from
that's possible.
He was coming from a party, and she said, I knew it was some drunk Irish guy.
All right.
You know that hat, right? The
green
plastic derby?
Yeah. Well, I will say this in defense of the Irish, that the Irish stereotypes are that they fight a lot and they drink too much. And on the big national or international holiday for the Irish, all they do is drink. And their football team in Notre Dame is called the Fighting Irish.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that.
I mean, the stereotypes about the Irish are true a lot of the times. So that's where they're born from. There's a lot of truth in them. And the Irish have done like a 180 and they've embraced their stereotypes. They call themselves the Fighting Irish.
Yeah, I fight against stereotypes a lot, but the other day I was at a friend's house. He has a screening room, and we were watching Iron Man.
Right.
And I actually talked in his house to the screen. and I try. I really try to fight against stereotypes, but I did that in brother's house in the screening room.
All right, let's talk to him.
Come on, man. Come on. Tap that ass on, man. Come on, look out, look out, look out. He's bigger than you. He's bigger than you.
He's behind that door.
iron.
All right, let's talk to Gabriel in Torrance. You're on 97.1 Free FM. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Seth?
All right. You've been racially profiled?
Oh, several times. Uh-oh. Several times. There's a lot of that going on over here in South Bay, Torrance, Flamita area. I used to visit Torrance quite frequently when I used to date this girl, and I kid you not, every single time I'll be driving down the street, the Torrance PD would just look at me, immediately bust a U-turn, pull me over, ask me what I'm doing in the city, and I would tell them, hey, you know what, I'm just here visiting a girl, and they would just give me the whole rundown. They would search my car, everything, after everything. They didn't find nothing. They just basically told me, you know what, here's your license back. Just if you don't live here in Torrance, just don't be around here.
Is that right?
Several times. And as a matter of fact, in Lameda, the freaking police officers, they park right in the middle. It's not like the island, but where you can park right in the middle to make a left or something. They literally park there, and if it's like late in the evening, if they see you driving by with tinted windows or something, they'll literally just bust a U-turn and pull you over right then and there. I've seen them do it. Just black Mexicans. It's ridiculous. It's a shame,
That's wild. You know, a lot of people are now writing down, hey, I got to move to Torrance, man. Those cops, those cops mean business.
They step to you quick.
Anybody else that lives in Torrance or living in the vicinity right now, they'll tell you the same thing. The police in Torrance are just the punks. Jesus. They're the worst.
All right, Bubba. I'm sorry that happened to you, dude.
All right. So
all right. There he goes, everybody.
I know one thing about Torrance. They have a real good spearmint rhino.
In Torrance?
Yeah.
You know, I was watching this Dodger game. I thought this was a live game, but it turns out it was a day game. It was played today.
You know
And the Dodgers are down 12-0 in the ninth. Doesn't
Tim,
look good.
Tim, why didn't you tell me that? Man. I just bet Jerry $20, and he said the final score was going to be 12-1. I bet him. I made him write it down.
Oh,
I thought this
man.
Was a live game.
No, it's over, I guess.
See, taking advantage of the black man. You racially profiled me and then took advantage of me.
Hey, when we were talking about this game earlier, did you know it was a tape? It was a tape
game? I was in the bathroom then.
Oh. But did you hear us talking about it?
Yeah, and I told Randy, I thought he said something to you.
Oh,
I was in the bathroom, though.
You're the worst producer on the planet.
Dude, what am I supposed to do? Call from the stall?
I mean, when we say something so stupid on the air, she goes, hey, listen, that game was played at 12:30 today. No, you can't remember between the time you leave the stall and the time you walk into the studio?
I did.
The studio
I said
there?
It when I came into the studio.
What'd you say?
I told there was like four people in here.
Why don't you? How about telling the guys that are on the air?
How about not setting up the Wednesday visitor? How about not taking advantage of the Wednesday visitor?
I tell you, dude, you are so terrible at your job. You really are. I don't know how you can train Charles in there when he should be training you. Oh, I can't stand that young man.
We really need to ask Magic Don Juan at 10 o'clock what you do with employees that don't act right. He has a different philosophy towards that than you do.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Magic Don Juan know how to keep employees in check.
Fantastic. Well, maybe Don Juan and the bishop can come in here and run the board. All right, gang. Let's talk to Tracy and Brea. You're on 97.1. How are you?
Good, you?
All right, baby.
I've never been racially profiled. Well, I've been stared at. My husband's Filipino, but my husband, I remember this one time we got pulled over, and I'm white, so my husband stuck his hands up in the air, and I'm all, what are you doing? And he's like, well, the cops are pulling us over. I'm all, you must be crazy because I'm white, because white folk don't be doing that.
Jesus. Wait, his natural reaction when he got pulled over was put his hands out?
He put his hands on the steering wheel, and he goes, put your hands on the dashboard. I'm all, what are you talking about? And he goes, we're getting pulled over. And I'm all, I'm white. I don't need to do that.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I bet he'd love to hear that out of you, huh?
Well, we joke around about that, because when we got married, he wore a shirt that says, I'm with Round Eye. And I wore a shirt that said, I'm with the Brace Picker.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Oh,
sounds
man.
Sounds like a Flav roast.
Jesus
wow.
Christ.
But, like, I mean, I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me, because, you
wait,
know.
Wait, when you got married, what did your shirt say?
My shirt said, I'm with Rice Picker.
on your wedding day?
No, well, on our honeymoon.
On your honeymoon. Oh.
You know, it's nothing like some really hardcore racism on your honeymoon right before you get pounded.
Oh, Bobo.
And now I'm saying, you know, we just got to call it how you see it.
Yeah, I understand. I just thought you had your wedding dress embroidered.
Oh, no. Our wedding was beautiful. But anyways, what I was saying is that I've never...
Did you have a potluck wedding, by the way?
No.
Come here, Round Eye. A race picker. Come here, Round Eye. Give me your hair, Round Eye. I'm going to put my belt around your neck. Come here. Race picker.
Where did you guys meet? In prison?
No, we didn't meet in prison.
Where'd you meet?
We met through work.
Oh, man. Oh.
My husband's quite a bit older than me, so.
Oh, I see. And he's from the Philippines?
He's not in the Philippines, but he's from the Philippines.
He's from the
yeah.
Philippines, yeah. All right, baby. All right, we thank you for calling. Well, that's a cool couple, I guess. Really open with each other.
Both radically...
Oh, either got a great sense of humor or they hate the other race. But you know what? That kind of race play is great until you get into a real argument.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start with that round eye crap and then wacko, you know? All of a sudden you catch a left.
Yeah, because there's a day when I'm not going to want to have some white girl say, how's my Mandingo warrior? You know,
right,
it's like, hey, bitch, my name's Arsenio, okay? Not today, okay? Not today.
Yeah, not today. That should be the other shirt that she wears. Not today,
yeah,
man.
Not today, Rice Burger.
All right. According to the LAPD, they closed 320 racial profiling investigations in 2007 without finding merit in a single complaint. Look at that. The LA Times reported, is there racial profiling still going on? If so, where? Because according to the LA Times, it's not the LAPD. 520-9710 and 888 520-9710. Arsenio Hall is with us, and we are live. It's Tim Conway Jr. Show on 97.1 Free FM.
Hey, call Tim Conway Jr. now. 520-9710.
520-9710.
The Tim Conway Jr. Show on 97.1 SoCal's FM Talk Station.
Everybody, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. Arsenio Hall is with us every Wednesday. Mark that down in your calendar. And according to the LA Times, the LAPD, Los Angeles Police Department, closed 320 racial profiling investigations in 2007 without finding merit in a single complaint. So is racial profiling over? Let's talk to Lakeisha, I believe, is that name. In Compton, you're on 97.1. How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
Is it Lakeisha?
Yes.
How do you spell it? L-E-K-I-S-H-A?
L-E-K-E-I-S-H-A.
Ah, excellent. All right, good for you. All right, so you've been profiled, huh?
I have.
Uh-oh, where'd that happen?
Torrance.
In Torrance again?
Torrance again,
yes. Oh, Jerry, please. This is very, very serious. And what happened to you? What were you doing?
I was coming from the South Bay Galleria, headed to a family member house, and three Caucasian cops pulled me over in three different vehicles and the female officer asked me where I was coming from. I told her from the South Bay Galleria, and she said, oh, you're giving some old man out there money. I said, no, I was going to the movies. She said, oh, well, what are you doing out here? Well, I'm going to, you know, to my cousin's house. Well, what did she said, I said, why are you guys pulling me over? Oh, because you made an unsafe lane change. I said, so it took three cops to pull me over. Well, I asked her, do I need to call my sergeant and let him know I'm going to go to jail so I won't be able to make it to work? Oh, where do you work at? I work for the Los Angeles School Police Department.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she said, oh, don't you want to come to Torrance City? They make so much more money than them.
Yeah, now they're on your side, huh? So they didn't give you a ticket, huh?
Didn't run my name, didn't do nothing. After I told them who I worked for.
Right.
Oh, we're sorry. We thought we had a bus.
Wow. Hey, how big is the L.A. School Police Department?
Very big. It goes from Los Angeles to the Valley to San Pedro, Palos Verdes. Very big.
Wow. And what do? You just go from make sure the campuses are secure?
Yeah, I stay on the campus. I'm a safety officer for campus in Palos Verdes, and basically if our kids fight, handcuff them, pepper spray them, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the old, give them the old college ass-kicking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Little Kent State love.
Yes. All right, Lakeisha, we're going to give you something here for being pulled over and harassed.
Okay.
We're going to give you a DVD.
Here. I'm falling in love with your voice. Is that all right?
Yeah. You're a single woman?
Yes, I am.
Oh, look at that.
I was racially profiled in Walmart one time.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What happened to you?
I guess I had on a sweatsuit and the wrong baseball cap, you know?
And that crap in your pocket?
Yeah. It probably had something to do with the barrettes I had stolen. But that's a personal thing. I don't want to talk about that.
All right, Lakeisha, hold on one sec. We're going to give you Charlie Wilson's War on DVD. Tom Hanks, Julie Roberts, and Philip Seymour Hoffman in the true story of Charlie Wilson's part in arming Afghanistan in their war against the Soviet Union, out now on DVD. So, good luck with that.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk to Christina in Garden Grove. You're on 97.1. How are you?
Hi.
All right, you've been racially profiled?
No, my dad is a police officer in Torrance.
Oh, every call is from Torrance tonight, the Torrance PD.
No, and I'm like offended because my dad, you know, puts his life on the line every day, and every time he's pulled somebody over, and he has really funny stories.
Right.
When he pulls people over, they're like, oh, it's because I'm, you know, Mexican or I'm black, and he goes, no, but it can be since you brought it up, you know, well, like, that's not why I pulled you over.
He sounds pretty fair to me.
Yeah.
You know, since you brought it up, it can be.
Yeah.
Why can't we get along?
Hey, how old are you, Christina?
I'm 25.
You're 25. And how long has your dad been with Torrance PD?
Since before I was born. He worked for, he started out on the streets, did the LA riots, everything.
He actually was like stealing toilet paper and boxes of bleach.
Wow.
So he did the LA riots. Oh, he like an officer for the riots.
Yeah, he was in full riot gear for. He was on 24-hour call the whole time during the LA riots, and he did a couple. When I was a freshman in high school, he did a big storefront operation, and they went undercover, and he got to drive stolen cars. And
look at you. Hey, we have some audio, and this may or may not be your father, but we have some audio of Torrance PD pulling over a black guy here. Here it is.
Meiner, deutsche Jugend, nach einem Jahr.
I'm not good at translating. He said he's on Torrance Boulevard.
Ihr seid heute hier.
You coming from the movies?
How did a brother like you get a car like this? I think that's what that was.
Oh, boy.
I heard the N-word.
All right, let's talk to Armando in Pomona. You're on 97.1. How are you?
Hey, you guys are studs. Hey, man. I love your show.
Thank you,
thanks,
sir.
Man.
Where is that profiling going on, dude?
I got it going on here in Pomona, man. But I had some, other than just being pulled over and harassed every now and then by the cops, I got some mistaken racism. I had just got through doing a year and got out. Moved to my mom's new house. I was standing out front listening to my Walkman. A cop pulls up an hour after I'd been out front. And he tells me, hey, come here. Where do you live? I said, I live right here with my mom. He says, let me see some ID. And I show him my ID. And he's like, all right. Well, look, man, we got a call that there was a suspicious black guy standing out here. You know, I'm a dark-complected Mexican.
All right.
And he says, we got a call that there was a suspicious black guy out here. I said, I've been out here since 8 o'clock. I haven't seen one black guy. And the cop just dies laughing, man. And he goes, no, they were calling about you, man. So I was like, oh, man. So then, hey, but other than that, I went down to another city down in L.A. over by the 405 called Marina something.
Marina Playa del Rey?
Yeah, something Marina like that, Marina del Rey? Man. Yeah, I went to go check out I have an F-150, and I was trying to trade it at a car dealership. And the deal didn't go through, and I took my cousin with me. We both got bald heads. You know, we're both Mexican. We're both trying to get out of the city, and as I'm trying to get on the freeway, we get pulled over. And within the space of a minute, I mean, there must have been 5 squad cars, man. They all rolled up. All of them are white. They all get out. They all look like Gestapo. They all, you know, come over and throw us up against the wall, and they're questioning us, man. What are you guys doing down here? What are you doing? Who are you coming to see? Checking our pockets, checking the truck. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of my ear, I'm talking to one cop on my left, you know, on my left. And on the corner of my ear, I hear my cousin back talking the cop,
uh-oh,
you know, that's questioning him. So he's like, hey, you got no reason to pull us over. We didn't do nothing, this and that. You know, and the cop starts saying, I only caught every third or fourth word, something about baton, both of you in the head, jail, this and that. And then I go, oh, man. So I turn to the cop and go, excuse me, can you get a sergeant down here? And he goes, the sergeant's talking to your cousin right now. And I was like, oh, Jesus, man.
Now you knew you were in bad shape then.
Yeah, that's when you know you're in bad shape.
Did they ask you if you were in a gang?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and me and my cousin, we used to do that. I mean, we're 30 now, you know. Right. I got out of jail, got myself a truck driving job. Matter of fact, I'm driving right now listening to you guys.
And, oh, I see.
You know, I like to call myself a born-again citizen. You right. know, I pay taxes. I mind my own business. I'll even call the cops now, you know, if I see something strange going down. Yeah, I mean, I just...
Hey, how long were you in jail?
I did 2 years on a 4-year sentence.
For what?
01 to 03 for manufacturing.
Oh, I see. All right. So, yeah. So they just pulled you over 10 years too late.
Yeah, man. I mean,
they're never wrong. They're just late. CP time.
They weren't totally off the mark. I mean, I'm not, you know, the way me and my cousin look, you definitely would think we're, bad guys or thugs or whatever.
All right, well, next time you want to go to Marina Del Rey, call me. I'll go with you. Give me an easier ride.
I should have told him I knew you.
Yeah. All right, hold on one sec, dude. Hold on one sec. We got to take a break here, but we're going to give you David Beckham, Life of an Icon on DVD, the first unauthorized, unofficial David Beckham biography.
I just love David Beckham stuff. Anything Beckham, I just love it.
Featuring the defining moments of his career, courtesy of Liberation Entertainment.
Color me a homosexual.
Beckham.
I just love him, David
Life
Beckham.
of an icon.
Oh, Lord, Jesus, David Beckham.
He's an icon.
Ooh, calling me homosexual.
All right, man. All right. Hey, by the way, your mic is still in the air.
Oh,
I mean, we're still in the air.
And there go my soccer tickets.
He usually doesn't do that that gay thing until the break. All right. All right. This is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Arsenio Hall is with us. We're live at 97.1 Free.
97.1 Free.